creating a successful food line requires lots of planning and lots of preparation. You need to think about what you will sell, how you'll market it, and how you'll get customers to buy them. So in today's Imagine Talks, we'll learn how Rosa Lee did it. Rosa used to be a private equity and venture investor at Warburg Pincus. Rosa is now a successful food line entrepreneur. So as a founder, Rosa Lee started Wild Wonder in 2020. She reimagined healing drinks from her heritage. And as a child, Rosa Lee was inspired by her grandma's herbal tonics. And this became the basis for the Wild Wonder beverage line, which combines Asian culturally inspired herbal recipes with gut healing elements. Wild Wonder is the first drink to combine probiotics, or beneficial gut microbes, and prebiotic plant fiber, which is the food that probiotics need to thrive on. I'm Stephen Chan with the Imagine Talks podcast. Here's our episode with Rosa Lee, the founder and CEO of Wild Wonder. Welcome, everyone. My name is Stephen Chan. I am one of the co-hosts of Imagine Talks podcast, Achieving Success, Overcoming Obstacles, and Social Impact. We're here today with Rosa Lee, founder and CEO of Wild Wonder. It is so good to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Now, you have been with speaking at Imagine Talks, mm-hmm. and we've heard about your career and all the amazing things you're doing. We'd like to get into some of the nuts and bolts of how you've decided to do things with your work life. And, you know, one of the things that you have done in the past was you were at the Stanford Graduate School of Business, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I imagine you've had so many different opportunities presented to you then. How did you end up choosing the opportunities and pursuing particular things? And how did you end up setting yourself up for success?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, after business school, I was pretty lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do, even though you know, I felt like there were opportunities. There were just so many things I wanted to try. And it's almost like option, you know, if when you have so many options, you're just paralyzed by them. So I ended up going on this journey to explore different geographies, different job options, different, you know, products to work on. I went all over Asia. I actually thought, hey, you know, e-commerce is really growing. Maybe I wanted to be in Southeast Asia. I worked with a number of startups there, helped a friend's company launch in Southeast Asia. And then I thought to myself, you know, I am Chinese. I know how to speak Mandarin. So maybe I should be in China because I actually know the culture and the language better. Worked with a friend to also launched a business there and ended up realizing, okay, I don't want to be here long term, so I should be in the market where I want to build my business. Very roundabout way of figuring out, you know, what I really want to work on. I just wanted to go explore. And obviously there was the option of, you know, going back to finance, going back to private equity investing, which is obviously a good job option. I really enjoyed it. It was very intellectually challenging. And obviously it's, you know, money is always good.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to work on something I'm personally passionate about. I wanted to have that connection to heritage, so there's more meaning in whatever product I work on. Ended up coming back here and starting my first tea business, my first business, which is selling loose leaf tea. It's an e-commerce business. And then did that for about a year and then learned a lot of things, and that was really the start of Wild Wonder, because a lot of people were drinking. The culture here is more of a coffee culture, not a tea culture, and the way that people consume tea is very different than the way people consume tea in Asia, or the way that my grandma used to brew tea for me. So convenience is really big, and we're all lazy, right? So we want everything handed to us.
Yeah.
So when I was brewing these teas and servicing all these like big corporate offices, health conscious companies like Google and Facebook, they were just telling me, hey, love your product, but we're not going to sit around and brew tea all day long. So can you, you know, basically pre-brew them and bring them in dispensers? And I was just like, well, that's not really scalable. So why don't I package it in a way so it's a very convenient format? And that's basically the start of a ready to drink beverage that offers all the health benefits that I wanted the world to enjoy.
So you were listening. You were listening to your customers. And yeah. was that how you ended up pivoting from Rosalie?
So that was kind of the iteration. The first iteration was a format that, you know, it's just not convenient enough.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously there's been a lot of iterations of my product. That's something that I've learned in building something is nothing's perfect. That first product I launched, I mean, usually when you look at the first iteration of a product, it's cringeworthy, you know, so it's never perfect, but you know, perfect is the enemy of good. So we just need to put something in the world and see how people react and learn from that and iterate. And hopefully we iterate fast enough to get to that product that people actually love.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I think you've mentioned in your interview was even through the 2020 pandemic, mm-hmm. and the pandemic still going on, you were making it into Whole Foods, 500 grocery stores, mm-hmm. and even on national television featured on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. Which is incredible.
Wow, you did your research.
These are a lot of amazing things that you've done. Mm-hmm. How were you able to learn and make those connections during an incredibly challenging environment? Did you have specific mentors, networks, mm-hmm. or tools?
Yeah, I'm generally a pretty persistent person. I do think that grit is something that's very necessary for building a company because there's always challenges that come at you. I mean, in, you know, a span of 24 hours, there could be 5 bad things that happen, maybe 3 good things that happen, you know, they just keep going. So I think it's important to just, you know, manage one's emotions. And if there's a greater purpose and meaning in behind the company, then, you know, then there's a reason to keep going forward. So I wasn't just building the company because, oh, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur or I thought this product was cool. I think there's a lot of meaning in having, you know, in launching this business. So yeah. Inspired by my grandma, I think the drink really brings back memories with her. And we're here to really create everyday wonders and for those under voice in our community. So it's not, there's a mission piece to the company as well. It's called Wild Wonder and it's named for that reason. So 5% of profits from every can actually goes to causes that support female and marginalized communities, which is something I'm personally very passionate about. And by building this business and bringing something that's healthy to the world, not only am I, you know, making people's lifestyles healthier and better. I'm also hopefully, you know, bring more equity to the food system as well. Because if you think about all the products on shelves, a lot of them are just, you know, from people who want to make some money. They're not necessarily the best products. And I think, you know, I truly believe in our product. We, in crafting a product like this, we, you know, put a lot of thought and care in the ingredient sourcing and in the products being high quality and also in bring more diversity to retail to retail shelves and to the entire food system.
You mentioned diversity is something that's very important, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in one interview, and you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, you mentioned that the quote, female founders and especially BIPOC, persons of color founders,
yeah.
face additional barriers in so many aspects of business. And for those who don't know those barriers, mm-hmm. You know, what kind of those barriers have you had to overcome? Is that something that you've been able to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, it's a constant challenge and it's really hard to I guess, describe, because I can't really A/B test these things. Like, I'm an Asian female. I don't know what, you know, my experience would have been like as a white male, right?
Yeah.
So, but I can tell you, you know, in psychology, there's a term called similarity attraction. So you tend to like people who are more similar to you, right? So, and I've noticed that from my own personal experience, it's very easy to build a connection with someone that looks like you and that shared a certain experience as you. So if you think about the venture capital world and people in power, they're not people that look like me. So it's just much harder to really for them to build trust and for them to say invest in you. And the stats are out there, right? So less than 1% is definitely low single digits of venture funding goes to minority or BIPOC and female-founded businesses. And that's something that I've seen, you know, during the pandemic, what, you know, the small businesses are the ones that got hurt the most, especially those founded by marginalized communities, because they just simply didn't have access to all these resources. They may not even have the language skills to get access or to learn about the resources. So, you know, it's definitely, I think it's important to provide more support for those communities. And it's important to also bring that issue or just to, you know, make people more aware of these things. And that's obviously, you know, a topic, it's a very popular topic of discussion in the last 2 years, right?
Yeah. And I think these resources, it kind of is a very hot topic. Because I think that there can be stereotypes out there that say, oh, well, a lot of Asians are privileged, or there's that model minority. This is, at least historically in the United States, they're viewed as a successful minority. Where in reality, you mentioned that so many small businesses have unfortunately had to shut down or cut back quite a bit, and a lot of them were minority owned. You know, as an individual, I know that as a society, there's more that needs to be done, but how do we then overcome that? How does one overcome that? Or maybe there's nothing they can do to
necessarily. Well, the first step to solving any issue is to become aware of it. So I think if more people discuss the issues at hand and share their perspectives, then we can learn more about each other's perspectives to start with. And then the next step would be to you know, bring certain things to action. From, you know, my business is really about bringing healthier products to market. It's not necessarily, we're not a company with a mission to talk about, you know, racism or biases in a society, but there are small things we can do. So in hiring, you know, I want to make sure that I'm hiring diverse talent. It's not just about, you know, we have, it's a small team, but, you know, we have a very diverse team. From there's AAPI, there's people in the LGBTQ community, there's male, female, like it's just all sorts of people with all sorts of background and talent. So I think it's important to bring everyone together. Because, you know, we can all contribute to the same cause. From, you know, with our different talents and perspectives. And it's always good to hear everyone out. So I really, you know, in building my business, culture is very important. I'm very open to feedbacks, and I always want people to contribute and share their feedback with me and with every team member. So, you know, the company is going in a direction based on what everyone wants as well. There's a mission and a vision, but how we get there, you know, that's the result of everyone's efforts.
I love that. That diversity is incredible, because each person has their own superpower that can help contribute to the success of what you're trying to accomplish. Thinking about yourself then, I'd love to transition to more of the nuts and bolts, you know, on your day-to-day basis, you know, as a founder and a CEO of a company with now a national footprint. You have so many different moving parts. I mean, are there particular things that you make sure you do in the morning, and then how you structure your day? Is that something that someone else manages for you, or that you manage yourself?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask me, what's your day-to-day like? And to be honest, there's not really a day that's 2 days that's alike. But I basically make sure I am mentally and emotionally present, and taking care of my own health is actually very important, and very important for the health of the business as well, because what I bring to the culture and what I bring to the team is actually, you know, it's very impactful for the company as a whole. So, you know, I make sure I lead with a healthy lifestyle, right? So it's hydration is something, you know, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but there is something I would say this year I want to hydrate more frequently, and it's very important for our health. And obviously eating healthy is also very important. Regular exercise, you know, better quality sleep. I always optimize for good sleep. So those are actually just simple things I take care of that's good for my health, and it's very impactful for running a, you know, healthy business as well.
Yeah. Do you have any particular go-tos, coaches, or other mentors that
help you with this process? I definitely think it's important to surround ourselves with a network of, you know, coaches, friends, mentors. On the business side, we have advisors who come from different backgrounds. We have advisors on the operations side, on the strategy side, on the sales side, marketing. Very important to surround myself with people with more experience, because obviously, you know, what do I know? I didn't come from the food and beverage industry. So they've definitely helped me tremendously. I also surround myself with friends and, yeah, coaches that are here to support me during when the times are hard. And that was super helpful, especially during COVID when, you know, our business model really changed a lot. And when our business first got hit really hard by COVID. And then there's kind of the important habits I build into my daily lives, like making sure I get enough sleep, making sure that I get enough, you know, physical activity to stay productive as well. Making sure I have a rest day in a week, so I don't get overworked and get burned out, because that's counterproductive. So, you know, back in the private equity and finance days, I used to work, you know, I felt like I worked 24/7. There was never a break.
Seven days a week.
Yeah, exactly. Really? Exactly. Oh, wow. So there was no break, and it really wasn't healthy and sustainable. And I actually find that there's, you know, kind of an optimal point for everyone. It's different for everyone to be highly productive when we are working. And to me, you know, work-life balance, which people talk about a lot, is more of a mental state. So, and that's different for everyone. So if I feel balanced, if I feel healthy, and I'm always motivated by work, and because I believe in the work I do, so I do work on average more than most people I know, but it's something that I enjoy, and it doesn't feel like, oh, this is work necessarily.
That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. For folks who want to, who are inspired by you and what you've accomplished, maybe they don't necessarily want to start a food business, but they are inspired by the fact that you've had this uphill battle against the industry over the past few years of COVID, mm-hmm. Pivoting, changing your strategies. You know, are there any particular words of wisdom or advice that you'd want to give to such individuals?
Mm. You know, I've been given a lot of advice by other people. I think usually advice is kind of a projection of everyone's own experience. So the one thing I would say a lot of people have trouble with, is really like taking that first step. I kind of mentioned this earlier, perfection is the enemy of good. Yeah, and a lot of people try to be perfect. They want to, you know, figure out all the pros and cons and you know, talk to everyone, get all the advice, and almost like have this roadmap laid out before they launch something. And to be quite honest, you know, everything changes once you launch something, and it's much easier to just, it's much better to just put something out in the world and get feedback, because we all know that, you know, it's really hard to get to that perfect product, and to be honest, and there's no perfect products. It's really hard to get there without learning something from your real customers and iterate. Most people's first version of their products is very different from what they ended up with. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, put something out there, and don't be afraid to put something out there that's may not be perfect. And I would just, you know, be more okay with making mistakes, be more okay with things not being ideal, because, you know, it's more important to learn from those mistakes and than coming up with something that you think is perfect.
Yeah, I think we had another speaker, Hansen.
Yeah.
And we were talking about analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
And that can really freeze people's progress up. So that makes total sense that perfection is the enemy of good enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I want to say, Rosa, thank you so much for your time and sharing a lot of, you know, how you fashioned your career and how you've navigated a lot of difficult times. It's wonderful to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, and for folks who are listening, stay tuned for the next episode of Imagine Talks podcast. Thank you.
Yay.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Imagine Talks, go to www.imaginetalks.org. Edge Interns and Mental Power Hacks supports this podcast. Edge Interns sources the best interns to the best companies. Learn more at EDGE, that's edgeinterns.com. Mental Power Hacks is where you will get life hacks to boost your mental performance, productivity, and success. Connect with us at mentalpowerhacks.com. Subscribe to us and get the latest episodes of the Imagine Talks podcast, Achieving Success, Social Impact, and Overcoming Obstacles. See you next episode.